All right, let's go.
Leedle.
No.
Why not? I'm Shelby.
I'm Chrissy.
This is Pentacles and Tentacles.
Today is episode 10, I think.
The big 10.
Yep. 10 of these I've recorded with her. Don't make that. You sound like a game, like a whack-a-mole, what the mole would say when it pops out of the hole. Yeah.
I just had flashbacks to Chuck E. Cheese.
But like a low budget. A low-budget carnival. Aww. One time I went to a carnival in Bloomsburg, and there's, like, a lot of carnies there, which they live their life a whole other way. I have to tell you about the one time I fell in love with a carny. I forget his name.
No!
But he gave me a necklace. It was meant to be.
But anyway, I was about to ask, what's it made out of?
I don't remember. I had it until I moved out, and then I threw it away when I moved out, which was just... not even a year ago. Mm. I had that thing for a really long time. I think his name was Steven. Or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I went to this carnival in Bloomsburg. It was a little Bloomsburg fair, and they had, like, this row of, like, carnival thing. Like, games. They had, like, the row of games. Like, you know, Grange Fair? Yeah. R.I.P. to Grange Fair. I'm still upset about it.
Yeah.
But they had, like, this row of games. And there's just, like, them yelling at you as you walk down this aisle because they just want you to, like, play games. And I was, like, so overwhelmed. And I was also in high school. And they were just, like, commenting on my butt.
Oh, my God.
And that was before I knew what sexual harassment was. So I was like, yes. I didn't play any games.
Oh, good.
Moral of the story. But that reminds me of your noise that you make as whack-a-mole.
I just had flashbacks to Chuck E. Cheese.
I don't know if I ever went to Chuck E. Cheese.
Really?
I'm sure I did.
You must have.
I don't know.
Because there was that little, like, photo booth thing where it would, like, it'd take a picture of you and then it pretended, like, sketch out your face. I remember that.
See, I remember, like, commercials for it. Yeah. I don't remember doing it physically. Like, I went to Slinky Action Zone. It's in Altoona. Or it was. I don't think it is anymore. But it's, like, a giant, like, I mean, I'm sure it's not giant, but I was in, like, fourth grade, and I went because I had braces. I remember this specifically because I had braces, and we were playing laser tag, and my friend hit me in the mouth with a laser tag gun.
No!
And I had braces.
Oh.
So my teeth, and, like, my lips, like, cemented and stuck in my braces, and I was just like, hey!
No!
Yeah, so like Slinky Action Zone, I went there.
We had something like that in Iowa. It was called Planet X.
Oh.
It was really cool.
We had Penn Skates.
Ooh.
That's where you went if you're real cool.
We had a skating rink.
If you went to Penn Skates on a Friday after school, you were like, Friday nights were like the time to go.
I don't know. My high school did like midnight bowling. Everything was like black lights and shit.
We had like an all-night dance, but I was never allowed to go.
Aw.
I also think I never wanted to go because I like my sleep.
Sleep is great.
So this is episode 10.
Yes. There's a couple things I wanted to discuss with you first before we got into the... I almost called them the big D, but I'm trying to refrain. First of all, I found a new podcast, and it's hosted by James and Oliver Phelps, who are Fred and George Weasley. It's called Double Trouble!
So, for anyone who doesn't know Shelby personally, she...
Fred is my old, like, my first, like, sexual awakening crush.
Yeah.
I love Fred.
Fred and George.
More Fred. And everyone's like, they're twins. They look different. Fred. And also, I found out that they're both married. My soul is crushed.
You're in a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, not that that changes anything about my life either, because, like, I would be also crushed if I found out that Tom Hiddleston or every other skinny white boy.
Yeah.
but I found that, so I've been listening to that. And they had Jenny on, and they talked to her, and then they had Lee Jordan, and they're just, like, hanging out, doing stuff talking about Harry Potter, and it's a great time, and I love it.
I'm glad you found that.
I'm so happy.
Also, I would like to discuss with you the Watermelon Sugar video.
It makes me so happy in very different
ways.
He knew
what he was doing.
Exactly. Like, he could have gone, like, very subtly and, like, just a happy summertime, but no, he went, like, the first half is just full oral.
Honestly, I was speechless. I still am, because like, okay. My thoughts. One time I ate too much watermelon. Because I love watermelon.
It is delicious.
And I was so sick. And I peed so much.
Was it red?
No.
Oh, good.
That's another story.
No! Was it beets?
It's always beets.
It's always fucking beets.
But, like, watermelon is a lot of water, hence the name.
Really?
So, the only thing I could think of while... because I watched it once the whole way through. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I dig this. Mm-hmm. We all know I love Harry Styles. Mm-hmm. And then I watched it on my TV because I was like, I need to see it
on a bigger screen.
On a bigger screen. And all I thought of was, I guarantee these girls had to pee so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's a lot of fiber.
And a lot of liquid.
And fiber. That's literally all watermelon is.
Yeah.
And, like,
the minute he just touched the watermelon slice, I was like, oh, I know where this is going. Sir.
He knew.
Sir. But, like, the first half is all, like, innuendos, and the second half is him just at a girl's sleepover. Living his best life. Fun. He's just living his best life.
I was happy with it.
I'm very happy that he did it that way. I'm happy he didn't do a safe route. He's just like, I'm going full with it. You know what this is about. It's gonna be great.
I'm not upset about it.
No.
I am more concerned about their bodily functions after that, because
they're his watermelons. He grew them himself. I wonder if he's an organic farmer.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine him just, like, roaming down a field in overalls and, like, a straw hat?
Yes.
Time to go check my melons!
I don't think he says it like that.
I won't do a British accent. Don't. I'm not going to.
Yeah, I could picture him wearing overalls. Mm-hmm. I mean, the pants that he wears up to his nipples anyway.
They're almost overalls. They just need some straps.
Yeah.
He wears, like, wide pant overalls and something. I saw, like, white ones.
I'm okay with whatever he wears.
Yeah.
I'm also okay with...
nothing he wears.
Yeah. He wears nothing.
He grew a beard. Now he's a farmer with a beard. Do you think after he's done music and he's like, I'm too tired for touring, he's just actually going to become a full-time farmer?
I hope.
Maybe he'll get an alpaca. I could see him with some alpacas.
And I was brandishing a knife.
Why?
No, I was going to say, getting their fur, that's yeah. whatever it's called.
Yeah,
it's their not wool. Fur. Their wool.
Yeah, and making socks.
Well, I was going to go, like, making his own clothing brand of wool clothes, because that seems, like, very 70s of him, and which we know.
I don't even know if he'd sell them. He's just like, I'm going to make my own sweaters. My own socks.
I'll teach him how to crochet.
That'd be fun. I'm sure he'd have a duck. Some chickens.
Chickens.
He might rescue some animals. That'd be fun. This Cats. Is my rescue cow. My rescue cow. My rescue cow.
My rescue cow.
I had a patient the other day say, my day to barth is. I was like, no, it was my day to beerth. It's my day to beerth. And I was like,
what was the... Bait of dearth.
Bait of dearth.
You've also said date of beerth.
Date of beerth.
What was that, Jess?
I think I said date of barth.
You said date of barth and I had to leave the room.
Yeah. I'm still not over fart function.
Fart function.
Heart function. Or,
A bounty
plout. Fraternal needle. That was...
Bounty plout.
Ooh, look at the bounty plout. Like, all right, Swedish chef. Sup, Ashley.
I miss our whiteboard.
Yeah.
I stuttered my whole way through a voicemail.
Me too!
Yesterday, I left a voicemail. I was like, hi, this is Chrissy from, you know, Colin about an appointment on June. First of all, I said April 5th. I mean June 5th.
April's already happened.
I was like, I'm calling in regarding an appointment about an appointment on April 5th. I mean June 5th.
There was one I was like scrolling through like the scripting. I was like, I'm calling so and so about their appointment on June 29th. It's been a tough time.
I had a lady call in that said she had something impaled in her cervix.
The size of a metal spoon.
It's not a metal spoon.
What if it is? The doctor said the thing.
Yeah, the doctor referred to it as a thing. Mm. That's all right.
I had a man with a lump on his chest and a bug crawled out.
I feel like we should have a separate mini episode of...
It's my hospital horrors!
How about we do that after we record this? Well, just talk about...
We'll do a mini.
Okay.
We'll do a Shelby and Chrissy hospital horrors. I promised Timmy wouldn't tell hers, but I'm going to because it's disgusting.
Okay, we'll talk about it after. All right, do you want to talk about what we're talking about?
Yeah. So for our 10th episode, we're going to do a story together, and it's a biggie and a baddie. I mean, he's definitely in the top three of serial killers. Like, if you were to think of three.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely... I don't know if I would call him my top three, because yeah. I grew up...
But, like, if you asked a random person, like, name me three serial killers. I feel like it'd Bundy. Be him, Bundy. I think Bundy might be a little bit more popular now because the Zac Efron movie came out so recently. I don't know who the third would be.
I would say Gacy.
Yeah. I mean, I always say Kemper.
Or the Zodiac Killer.
Zodiac, maybe. I always say Kemper, but I think that's my own personal
bias. Or they would do, like, Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. But he's definitely up there. Him and Bundy, I think, toss between one and two.
I think Bundy's more popular just because he was so good-looking.
Yeah.
We know that's an issue with Bundy.
Yeah.
I don't know if issue... Yeah, we'll just go with issue.
Yeah. So, today, me and Chrissy are talking about... Jeffrey Dahmer.
Sorry, I also have an ear infection. Oh, and my ear is really...
Is it leaking?
Yeah. Ugh. It's fine.
Ugh. So I'm going to be doing early life for the first half, and then Chrissy's going to be covering the actual murders, and then together we're going to talk about the trial and him getting caught and all that. Yeah. Lovely, lovely.
Yes.
But we decided to do a biggie together because...
We're probably going to do the biggies.
This is a lot.
On every, like...
10?
Every 10 or 5. We haven't decided, but we're going to do big ones together just because...
For nice milestones.
It's also too much for one person to do by themselves for half an episode.
So we want to
talk about as much as we can with them.
And I feel like we'll switch. Like, the next time we do a biggie, I'll do the gross.
Because this one...
is
I apparently had to... I had to get the bad. I had to start with Dahmer.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Okay. So, early life.
I don't know anything about his early life other than what I saw with Ross Lynch portraying him as My Friend Dahmer.
I still need to see that.
He does so good.
I also didn't watch his interviews that he did with his dad.
I didn't either.
But I would like to.
I am uncomfortable watching interviews with serial killers.
I find that...
Because they're very manipulative, and it freaks me out that I, for some reason, like, I watched one with Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer, and for whatever reason, I started sympathizing with him, and I was like, I can't do this, because he's so manipulative.
Sierra and I are actually talking about this, like, there's certain killers that make... There's, like, I have, like, three categories. The ones that make me very, very angry, that I despise.
Like,
ones
that a child killer?
Like, Gacy makes me very angry.
Yes.
Ones that I don't want to give the time of day, that they want attention, that I'm just like, no. So that would be, like, Richard Ramirez and Manson. I'm just like, nah, fuck
Manson's
you.
Manson's just... Manson.
Yeah. And then there's the ones who fascinate me, and I think it's because they talk so much. Kemper and Dahmer.
Yeah.
While Dahmer...
I like the ones that were interviewed about their motives.
Yeah.
But, like, with Gary Ridgway, he was so soft-spoken. And, like, the interviews I watched with him, like, I don't know why, but it just reminds me of, like, we work with the public, so I think it's, like, I could picture the him being someone that...
Yeah.
Just... comes into, like, the office. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's, like, for whatever reason, not that I sympathize with him, but I'm, like...
It doesn't make you as mad as it should.
And I'm, like, ew. Yeah. And I'm, like, oh, well, he killed people.
Yeah.
That's gross.
It's always, always remember these people killed people.
They're humans, but they killed humans.
Exactly. So, let's start at the beginning. A wonderful place to start. Jeffrey Dahmer was born in West Allis, Wisconsin, to Joyce and Lionel Dahmer. Dahmer's dad was in school during his early years, and then he became an analytical chemist. His mother was a typist teacher.
Typing.
Yeah, basically. Something with typing. Apparently, it was a very difficult pregnancy with Jeffrey, whatever that means. His dad wasn't around a lot because he worked, and his mother struggled with severe depression and a lot of other general illnesses. I saw that she was possibly like a hypochondriac. She really wanted attention for herself and just didn't show Jeffrey a lot of attention and motherly love. She once also attempted suicide by overdosing during his childhood. 7 years later, or 7 years younger, he has a brother named David.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey chose the name.
That's odd.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Which made me think of Robin Williams' kids. They let his son pick his daughter's name. That's how they came with Zelda.
Aw, that's cute.
Because I think him and Robin Williams were playing Zelda at the time.
Aw.
And they did commercials for the Zelda game when it came out on the DS. And he's just like, well, better than Epona. Just the horse.
True.
Jeffrey did not like David due to the attention he got.
Yeah,
he was a baby. They need a lot of attention. It's fine. Jeffrey was actually described as happy and friendly as a child until the age of 4.
That's not a lot of years.
It's not. It's really not.
I mean, I feel like at that age, like, you don't really have much going for you other than, like, Jell-O.
Yeah. Jell-O?
I don't know, we just watched that episode of Criminal Minds.
For some reason, I thought of gummy worms and, like, that dirt.
Well, we were
pudding.
Both on this... Oh, I love dirt.
She's like, chocolate pudding, gummy worms, and crushed Oreos.
One time, Maddie and I were at... There's this place at my college called Gemmel, which is, like, the fast food version of, like, the... It's one of the food places on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting there, and I was like... Oh, I could really go for some dirt. And Maddie's like, yeah, me too. So then we were like, all right, let's get some dirt. Mm-hmm. And we just left and got dirt. Like, I miss college because you could just do that. Yeah. Also, I went to the smallest, well, it wasn't that small, but I lived in a really small town.
I feel like we need to clarify because we have a couple international listeners. Dirt is chocolate pudding, gummy worms, and crushed up Oreos, so it looks like dirt.
It looks like a yard.
Yeah.
And you can also put, like, green stuff on it if you
want. Yeah, like if you food dye coconut shavings.
Yes.
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a dessert.
Yes. It's actual dirt.
It's pudding, Oreos...
Gummy worms.
And sometimes coconut.
It's good.
It's real good. And Maddie and I put M&Ms in it for rocks.
Oh,
I think
nice.
We did. Unless I just done that by myself.
You know, like this.
Well, we made it in a big bowl. We didn't even layer it.
Oh.
We just, and then we ate it.
We kind of just gotta get the.
What
if you got, you know, those little like candy rocks you can get at science museums?
Yeah.
I always love those. They taste so good.
Like rock candy?
Not like rock candy, but like chocolate rocks that look like rocks.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of dirt. Around 4,
yeah.
He had to get surgery for a double hernia.
Ooh.
Which is like an old man thing. Like, how does a 4-year-old get a double
Unless
hernia?
Unless he just didn't have, like, his abdominal wall wasn't...
Yeah. So he actually needed surgery for this, and no one explained to him what the surgery
scary.
Was, or that he was even gonna get it.
Oh.
They literally, like, drove him to the hospital, mm-hmm. and then... He's like, what's going on? And they, like, shoved him with an IV and put him under, and then he woke up with a giant scar on his stomach. Which is not good.
That'd be scary.
Please explain to your kids what is happening to them.
See, I don't remember ever being told I was getting surgery on my ears when I was little.
Yeah.
Sorry, my Duncan was calling my name.
But it's like, because, so when I used to work at Penn State, we would take a tour of the children's hospital.
Yeah.
And they would have literally, like, just people there to explain to kids, this is what we're gonna do on, like, dolls and stuff. Like,
yeah.
This is what chemo
I'll
is.
I'll have to ask my mom what they told me when I was getting surgery, yeah. because I don't remember. I've had surgery mm-hmm. a couple times, but,
do
like...
Do you remember getting surgery?
I remember the one surgery, because mm-hmm. I remember exactly what I wore. I had this white shirt with, like, white mesh sleeves. I was 6,
mm-hmm.
and I wore jeans, and I wanted to look cute I don't know if I wanted to look cute, or if I was just like, I'm gonna wear this.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember waking up afterwards, and I got a popsicle.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, I was really excited for the popsicle. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but
popsicles are pretty big when you're little.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it was a big deal.
I was when I worked six. At daycare, they went crazy for those ones in the plastic tubes.
Also, then my doctor died then. So that's fine. Yeah, there was a memorial.
Yeah, it was a car accident.
Yeah.
Damn.
He was drunk.
Oh, well.
On his way back from...
something.
Probably having a thing. Mm. I know what happened. I don't want to, like, bash him, though.
Okay.
He's doing something that he shouldn't have been.
All right. After this surgery, this severely
traumatized him. That'd be very traumatic, yeah.
This severely traumatized him. And after that, he became very withdrawn, and he would just sit and stare and, like, not talk for hours. So here's the beginning of the downfall, the slow, painful downfall. At age 5 or 6, Jeffrey became interested in bones.
Mm-hmm.
One day at dinner, they were eating, like, a roast chicken you get at the grocery store, and he asked his dad what would happen if he dropped the chicken bones in bleach.
Okay.
And his dad was thrilled. His dad was like, we can have something to bond over. He has a science brain. Like, we can work with this. Like, maybe he'll become a biologist. Maybe he'll go into mortuary. Like, who knows? This will be great.
Well, it's also kind of cool when your kids start showing an interest in something.
Yeah. He bought him a chemistry set, which was cute. His dad did show him how to bleach the bones, and with his chemistry set, he used to make stuff to pour on insects.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He and his dad would bleach the connected tissue and hair off rodents and corpses who died under their house. He also would keep the bones in a bucket that someone said it was his personal rattle, and his family called it his fiddlesticks. That's old Jeffrey and his fiddlesticks.
All right.
Okay.
Are you disgusted by bones?
No. I'm disgusted that they called them fiddlesticks.
Okay.
Bones, I think, are fascinating. That guy who has the giant collection of spines? He likes bones. He didn't call them fiddlesticks.
Correct. Continue.
When he was 8, the family moved to Bath, Ohio. At this time, Jeffrey's mother was on literally 20 different medications. And she was prone to fits of rage.
I feel like at that point, the 20 medications probably had.
Yeah.
You should see a better psychiatrist if they were like, we're going to put you on 20 different ones.
It's like, maybe some of them aren't working, and that's why you're on 20.
Yeah.
Switch it up. I don't know. His parents fought a lot and completely ignored him. Teachers actually wrote on his report card that they felt that he was being neglected. Nothing was done. His dad says that he was sexually abused by a boy in the neighborhood. Jeffrey does not remember or did not remember any of this, but his dad said that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeffrey continued to become increasingly withdrawn and uncommunicative from 10 to 15 years old. He showed very little interest in any hobbies or social interaction, except for biking around the neighborhood to look for dead animals to dissect. And he would dissect them in the house or in the woods. He kept the bones in jars and would put them in his clubhouse. At one point, he put a dog's head on a stake to just display, and he had a little animal graveyard, and he'd put their skulls on little crosses.
Interesting.
Yes. Okay. He also liked to do taxidermy and stuff animals, and an interview with one of his previous, like, school
mm-hmm.
people, friends, peers, said Jeffrey told him, I always wanted to do that to a human.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah. Now we move on to high school. In high school, he was an outcast, but became something, and Murderpedia had something of a cult figure,
mm-hmm.
and I think this is because kids would pay him and, like, ask him to do stupid stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
His mother actually had an interior decorator who had cerebral palsy, and he would mimic her all the time.
That's in the show, yeah. The movie. It's really interesting.
He would yell at inappropriate times, draw chalk drawings of, like, body outlines.
Mm-hmm.
He snuck into yearbook photos. There's one of him in the National Honor Society of, I think it's Revere High School is what he went to.
Yeah.
And they had to blot out his face, obviously, because he's not in the Honor Society and he's a serial killer. He would also fake seizures for attention. Kids would pay him to do the funny stuff, and they would call it doing a Dahmer. Don't do a Dahmer. He had average grades, but apparently above average IQ. At 14, he said he knew he was gay, and at 16, he started to have some murdery tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
There was a jogger who would jog by his house all the time, and he found him very attractive. And instead of, like, trying to ask him out, he said he wanted to rape him while he was unconscious.
Yeah.
Jeffrey...
I'll talk about...
Oh,
he had a thing.
Not moving bodies.
Yes.
One day he decided, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna get this guy, and I'm gonna rape him and kill him. He waited in a bush outside with a baseball bat, and that was the day that the jogger decided to not run.
Wow.
He jogged every day except for that day.
Jeez.
Yeah. He began drinking at the age of 12. He would wear, like, an army green jacket and carry a flask with him with gin and just drink it in class. And he was an alcoholic by the time of his graduation. And I think it would be, yeah, gin in the flask all day.
Of all things, a drink.
He could also drink whiskey out of, like, a styrofoam cup on his desk.
Great.
Why did I'm sorry. I know that teachers were strict.
Or, I feel like how? Teachers went one of two ways. They were either super strict or just did not give a flying crap about anything.
This child had alcohol on his desk.
There was a kid in my high school who had Gatorade bottles. He poured out half the Gatorade and filled the rest with vodka. And would keep it in his locker and drink at it every locker break. So, it's not that hard, unfortunately. He did that, and he was just drunk all... Not drunk, but he was tipsy.
Yeah.
All day.
I just feel like he wasn't secretive about it. Like, he didn't try to hide it at all.
Yeah.
So, I'm just like, why did you try and say something and just nothing got through? Yeah. Like, I don't know. In 1977, his parents finally divorced. They both claimed cruelty and gross neglect of duty to each other. Pretty much just, they fought a lot. David went to live with his mom, and Dahmer went with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
But at 17, Lionel left Jeffrey alone in the house to go marry another woman.
Just left.
And there was no electricity.
That's a bad dad.
I don't think there was any plumbing, no heat. So he had, like, a fridge that didn't work and was just in this house alone.
Is this when he went to his grandmother's?
No.
Oh, okay.
He lived in that house alone.
Oh.
During 1978, this is when he commits his first murder in that house alone.
Okay, talk about it.
Okay. Dahmer did go to college. He went to the Ohio State University. but dropped out after not even one semester, due to failing to attend most of his classes because he was drunk all the time. I don't know if his dad forced him to join the army or if he decided, but he did. He was actually a medic. Another soldier says that Dahmer raped him over a 7-month period and no one believed him and no one would do anything about it.
Wow.
Other soldiers said he would drink martinis in the barracks. He would actually keep, like, a shaker and all the ingredients, like, in his backpack and just
mix up a nice martini.
Yeah, every day, all the time.
Okay.
He was discharged from the army in 1981 due to his alcoholism, so pretty bad. Even we know it's bad, but it was, like, real, real bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was embarrassed to face his father, and the army gave him a plane ticket and said, use it to go wherever you want, just get out of here. And he went to Miami Beach because he was tired of the cold. And he got a hotel. He couldn't pay for it, so they kicked him out. He slept on the beach. He was then put in a hotel or a hospital, but then he was kicked out for drinking out of the hospital. He was arrested for drunken disorderly conduct in 1981, and that's when he asked his father if he could come back. His dad said yes. His dad couldn't handle him and his drinking, so he sent him to live with his grandma. Because let's go send the weird alcoholic to live with his sweet grandma.
Yes.
Okay. In 1982, Jeff moved in with his grandma to West Allis in Wisconsin, where he lived for 6 years. This is, like, besides the murder he did alone in the house, this is the beginning of his really strange behavior. His grandmother once found a fully dressed male mannequin in his closet. He stole it from a store. She also found a Magnum under his bed. There were terrible smells coming from the basement. Dahmer told his dad it was dead animals. It wasn't.
I'll tell you what it was.
It wasn't animals. He was arrested twice for indecent exposure in 1982 and 86. The second one was for masturbating in front of two boys. He says he was just peeing and didn't think anyone could see him. He was just fine.
Ew.
Bullshit. He started going to gay bars and bathhouses. He would drug and rape people to fulfill his fantasies in the bathhouses. The bathhouses took away his membership and kicked him out. Duh. So then he started using hotels. In November 1987, he found a man called Steven.
I'll talk about that.
Yeah. What I think is fascinating is this is the second in the of two and the only two white males that he attacked.
Really? I never looked up what these people looked like, so I don't know.
It was exclusively not white people.
Interesting.
Which is very weird, because normally serial killers stay within their own race.
Yeah.
Yeah. He brought Steven to the Ambassador Hotel. He was just planning to drug and rape him, and then he woke up, and I don't know if you're going to cover this, but here we are. He saw Steven with his chest caved in, battered beyond recognition, blood coming out of his mouth. And Jeff's hands were bruised and covered in blood. He says he has no memory of this.
Yeah, I talk kind of about that.
Okay.
Do you want me to continue? I'll talk about the end part of it.
Okay. But yeah, it's great. Oh, this one. Disgusting. There was a thing in the newspaper where someone died, and he was a recently deceased 18-year-old boy. And he decided, oh, that's so sad, so young, so full of life. I'm going to go dig up his grave and have sex with his corpse. And he couldn't because the ground was too frozen. Because Wisconsin.
Ew.
He's a piece of shit. An actual piece of shit.
That's gross.
In 1988, his grandma told him to move out due to his late nights, strange behavior, and gross-ass smells. He found an apartment in Milwaukee's West Side close to his job at the Ambrosia Chocolate Factory. And I listened to Morbid. Can you imagine if you bought or ate a chocolate bar that Dahmer made?
There was an episode of Bones
mm-hmm.
that I'm just now wondering if this is where it came from. There's an episode of Bones where there was like a ceremony for like the biggest chocolate bar or whatever, and there's a body in it.
Oh, I think I remember that one.
I wonder if that's kind of like, they're like, Dahmer made chocolate.
Oh, God.
We can make chocolate.
All right. September 26, 1988, one day after moving into his apartment, he was arrested for drugging and molesting a 13-year-old boy. He was sentenced to 5 years probation and 1 year in a work release camp and required to register as a sex offender. He was paroled from the work release 2 months early. And he moved into a new apartment, and that's when the long list of murders began.
Yeah, that's when it kind of became regular.
Yeah, he had...
There were a couple leading up to that, but...
I'll talk about more, but this man clearly has abandonment issues. And he wanted to dominate people and only, like, sex with people who didn't move.
Yeah. My turn? Okay, so... Dahmer had a couple methods of killing people. His main ones were strangulation and cutting the carotid artery.
I thought he only stabbed one.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, the majority of them were drugged mm-hmm. with sedatives because he liked to make them as incapacitated and unable to resist him as possible. Like you said, he liked people that didn't move.
Because I know Morbid talked about it. He was a big guy and he was pretty strong, but he went for very attractive, muscular men. And I think he knew he couldn't take them.
Probably. He experimented with a couple other methods of killing. He did bludgeon one to death, or two of them. His first and second murders were bludgeoned to death. Mm-hmm. And then he also did this thing where he wanted to make them as completely as submissive as possible, so he experimented with drilling holes into their head and pouring muriatic acid or boiling water into the holes into their brain.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his attempt at... He liked to experiment with different things.
He was trying to make sex zombies.
That, but, like, you also see that, like, he's been experimenting with different methods of things his entire life, mm-hmm. and his dad really
If he wasn't helped. This way, he could have been a good scientist.
Yes, he liked to experiment. Mm-hmm. His experiments were completely flawed, as we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
So, like Shelby said, his first victim, who was Stephen Hicks, was 18 years old on June 18th, 1978. Hicks was hitchhiking. That's hard to say. He was hitchhiking to a rock concert in Chippewa?
Mm-hmm.
Chippewa Park or Lake Park. And Dahmer picked him up off the side of the road, and then he bludgeoned him to death before strangling. He bludgeoned him with a dumbbell, mm-hmm, before strangling him.
Mm-hmm.
His body was cut up into pieces and then scattered in the wooded area behind Dahmer's family home.
Mm-hmm.
And Shelby brought up something, was that
he is still considered a missing person because his body has never been found. But Dahmer did admit to killing him. But Dahmer did say that he pulverized his bones.
Yeah, so they've never found him.
Yeah.
But
I don't think they found any of him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The next victim was Stephen Toomey, who Shelby talked about. He was 25. It was on November 20th, 1987. He was killed by Dahmer at the Ambassador Hotel, but Dahmer, again, didn't remember killing him.
Mm-hmm.
He claimed that he might have been drunk and basically beat him to death.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, he did dismember the body and basically put it in the garbage. He dismembered the bodies in his grandmother's basement.
Yeah, I have, what happened? He has no memory of this, got two huge suitcases, brought them to his grandma's house, kept him for a few days, then cut off the head and limbs and rest into tiny pieces, pulverized the bones, kept the head wrapped in a blanket for 2 weeks, then boiled it and bleached it to get the skull. He wanted to use the skull to masturbate, but it was too brittle, and then he pulverized it. He's actually the one who's still considered missing, not the first one. Toomey's the one who's considered still a missing person because they haven't found him.
Okay. The next victim, Wheeze, was James Doxtator. I don't know. It's Doxtator. He was 14.
Oh my god.
This was on January 16th, 1988. He met Dahmer outside of a gay bar, and Dahmer used the lure of the promise of $50 for nude photos to get him to come back, and he was strangled to death. And then Dahmer kept his body in the basement for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually dismembered the body and put him in the trash. He just liked to throw these people away.
Yep.
Richard Guerrero was 22. This was on March 24th, 1988. And he was killed in Dahmer's bedroom. He was drugged before being strangled to death again. His body was dismembered in the basement, but Dahmer this time put his flesh into acid to dissolve it. We know this was a practice that he started with whenever he was a child.
Mm-hmm.
The bones went into the trash, but he kept the skull for a while before eventually getting rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Sears was 24, and he was the last person to be killed at Grandma's house.
Mm-hmm.
It was on March 25th, 1989. Dahmer killed him and dismembered him. He did keep several body parts, which is a practice that starts up, and he kept the genitals and skull,
mm-hmm,
and they were preserved and left in a filing cabinet.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember which victim it was, but I know he kept his head in like a little trunk, and his dad came over and saw this trunk and it was locked and he thought it was full of porn. And he confronted Jeffrey and was like, I don't want this in my mother's house. Get rid of it. And he's going to open the box. And Jeffrey was like, don't open the box. Don't do it. And somehow got his dad away from the box, opened it, replaced the head with porn, opened it in front of his dad. His dad was like, okay, now get rid of it. But if his dad had been able to open the box and saw the head in it, this could have possibly stopped a lot sooner.
Yeah. Let's see. After the whole, like, going to an apartment and then back again, he eventually got a new apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And the first person to be killed there was Raymond Smith, who was 32 years old. He was a sex worker who met Dahmer at a tavern. Dahmer invited him back to the apartment with the normal ruse, I assume, of nude photos for money.
Yeah.
He was drugged with sleeping pills and strangled. Dahmer kept the skull and painted it red.
Did he have multicolored, like, multiple colors?
I think this is the only one he painted.
I thought he painted one black. For some reason, I have this vision of having, like, a red, a black, a green. But I could be very wrong.
I don't. I didn't read anything about that. The next one was Edward Smith, who was 27. This was on June 14th, 1990. He was, let's see, maybe Edward Smith. June 14th, 1990. Okay. He was an acquaintance of Dahmer's who was last seen at a party with him. They attended together. He was murdered. His bones were destroyed with acid. And Dahmer put the skull in the oven to try and dry it out. And he accidentally burnt it.
Great.
And therefore destroyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Ernest Miller, who was 22 years old, was a dancer. He met Dahmer outside of a bookstore, and Dahmer was very attracted to his physique. At his apartment, Dahmer cut his carotid artery, and after he bled to death, his body was dismembered in the bathtub. He cleaned the skeleton before storing it in the filing cabinet. He kept his biceps, heart, and part of his legs, and he froze them.
He kept his skeleton in a filing cabinet?
Yes.
How did it fit?
They take apart the bones.
But, like, your rib cage, is it multiple drawers? I just imagine it all in one drawer.
I'm assuming he had multiple drawers. Because this was the torso. I have a list of things that were found in Dahmer's apartment when this happened.
So I feel like just, like, one of the leg bones might not, like, be too long to fit in a filing cabinet. It depends on the filing cabinet. I don't know why that part baffles me. Continue.
Either way. He kept his biceps, heart, and part of his legs, and he froze them, so unfortunately they could be eaten at a later time. I don't talk about the cannibalism part of this because I honestly, that grosses me out more than anything.
He said it was so that they could still be a part of him.
That's gross.
Severe abandonment issues.
Ew. Okay, anyway. David Thomas was 22. He met Dahmer near the Grand Avenue Mall on September 24th, 1990. Again, he used the typical ruse of offering money for nude photos to get Thomas back to his apartment. Mm-hmm. He laced his drink with drugs, and once he was unconscious, Dahmer decided, he's not my type. But he killed him anyway.
Oh, wait, he's the one, I think he had a kid.
I don't know.
Because
I got all of this from a book.
Yeah.
So it didn't talk so much. I didn't read that much
into it. One that he thought was attractive in the beginning, and then he brought him back and he's like, oh, I actually don't think he's hot, and got angry because he thought it was a wasted day because he wasn't going to keep this man to eat him.
Ew.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Dahmer, this is when he started taking photos while he dismembered the bodies. Mm-hmm. Chris Strotter, who was 17, was lured back to Dahmer's apartment on February 18th, 1991. He was drugged, handcuffed, and then strangled. He was dismembered in the bathtub, and this time Dahmer kept his skull, genitals, and hands. He liked to preserve the genitals.
Yeah.
Very sexual.
Mm-hmm.
The next one was Earl Lindsay, who was 19. He was the first victim that Dahmer experimented with the drilling method. He drilled into Lindsay's skull and injected muriatic acid into his brain. But Lindsay woke up, and then Dahmer gave him a drink with sedatives, and then strangled him to death and removed his skin.
Ew.
And then he kept the skin for several weeks, and then also kept the skull.
I don't know what about skinning people makes me so uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, we already talk about, like, all these disgusting things, and he dismembered a torso, but the act of skinning someone, no. Yeah. No.
So, Tony Hughes was 31. He was brought to Dahmer's apartment with the nude photo lore again on May 24th, 1991. He was deaf and mute, so they communicated through written notes. He strangled and left Hughes on the floor of his bedroom for 3 days. He then dismembered the body, taking photos of the process again. Mm-hmm. And the skull was kept, and the police used it for identification purposes later. Okay. The next one is the one that kind of, like, disturbs me a lot, was Conorak. I cannot say this last name to save my life. My mouth does not work this way. I'm just gonna spell it. SINTHASOMPHONE. I cannot say it.
Conorak S.
Conorak. He was 14. Mm-hmm. He was drugged on May 27th, 1991. This is, like, just, like, 3 days right after Dahmer killed Tony Hughes. So he pretty much is going on this spree now. Mm-hmm. There's not really much any cooling off period. He went through the skull drilling method with muriatic acid and injected it into his brain. He assumed that he was incapacitated, and he left the apartment to go buy some beer. When he got back to the apartment, he saw Conorak, who was walking on the street naked and asking for help. The police came, and Dahmer told the police that he was intoxicated and that they were lovers. The police left him in Dahmer's care.
It was because Conorak was not white and he didn't speak good enough English to get his point across.
He also had muriatic acid in his brain.
And the police are assholes.
He injected more acid into his brain, and this is eventually what killed him. This was not his intent, though. Dahmer didn't mean to kill him that way. Mm-hmm. His body was dismembered, and the skull was kept. Mm-hmm. Matt Turner and Dahmer met at a bus stop on June 30th, 1991. Dahmer used the nude photo thing to get him back to his apartment. Dahmer was given a laced drink and then strangled. Like the others, he dismembered them in the bath. His torso was also kept in a 57-gallon drum, and his organs and head were kept in the freezer. On July 7th, 1991, Dahmer met Jeremiah Weinberger outside of a Chicago gay bar. They agreed to spend the weekend together, and after drugging him, Dahmer drilled into his skull and injected boiling water into his brain. His head was cut off.
There's one who got stuff drilled in who literally, like, sat up and said, like, where or what time is it, and then passed out again. I feel like this might have been him.
I don't know. I don't get into it. Like, mm-hmm. I said, I got this all from a book.
Yeah.
That didn't really give, like, that terrible details because they're that's terrible. Gross. His head was cut off, and his body was left in a bath for a week before being dismembered, and the torso was also put into the 57-gallon drum. Oliver Lacey was also a victim of the nude photo thingy on July 15th, 1991, just 10 days after Jeremiah's death. He was strangled he was drugged and then strangled. His head was cut off and placed in the refrigerator with his heart. Dahmer kept his skeleton because he planned on using it to create a shrine of skulls and bones that he had collected. The last victim was Joseph Bradoff. He was murdered on July 19th, 1991, just 4 days after Oliver Lacey, and left on Dahmer's bed for 2 days. His head was removed on the 21st and put into the refrigerator, and then his torso was put into the drum.
So that's three torsos in the drum.
Three torsos in the drum.
Ugh.
And then on July 22nd, 1991, Dahmer was talking to three men, and he used the normal, I'll give you money for nude photos, to get them to come back to his apartment, and he also offered them to hang out and drink beer. Mm-hmm. Tracy Edwards agreed, and when they got to his apartment, he noticed a terrible odor and boxes of acid sitting on the floor.
Uh-huh.
So Dahmer was like, hey, turn around and look at my fish tank. Edwards did.
Oh, great.
So when this happened, Dahmer put a handcuff on Edwards, mm-hmm. but failed to handcuff both wrists. Mm-hmm. And even after this, red flag should be going off. But Dahmer was still able to convince Edwards to go into the bedroom and take nude photos. In the corner of the bedroom was the drum.
Oh, God.
and this is where the terrible odor was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So Dahmer threatened Edwards, like, just was threatening him, I think, because he realized, like...
He's panicking.
He's panicking. And then he also brandished a knife, and it was not Shia LaBeouf. Brandishing a knife is my favorite pastime.
That is not the word.
I know. I know, it's not. Well, I mean, it could be. You don't know. Maybe I like knives.
Okay.
Edwards tried to keep Dahmer from attacking him by, like, appeasing him and going along with it.
Mm-hmm.
But while he was doing this, he was looking for a way out. Mm-hmm. So he was basically doing what I would do in a situation like this. Be like, yeah, sure. I love your barrel of torsos.
I'll stay here and just not move. It'll be
it's
great.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Yeah.
So they Edwards was like, hey, let's go drink some beers on the couch in the living room, mm-hmm. closer to the door.
Mm-hmm.
So Dahmer's like, sure, I can't say no to beer because I'm a raging alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
So they're sitting there having a beer on the couch, and Edwards is like, I have to pee.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when Edwards realized he doesn't have the knife, he doesn't have the handcuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not, like, mm-hmm. Apparently, like, I don't know if he was holding the handcuffs
mm-hmm.
or whatever, but he still had the handcuffs mm-hmm. on, I think.
Was it just on one
wrist? Just on one wrist.
Oh, okay.
So, when he got up, he noticed that this and that Dahmer was distracted, probably by beer,
mm-hmm.
or his fish tank, I'm not entirely sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, Edwards punched him in the face, was like,
yes!
Punch, and knocked him off balance. Edwards ran straight out the door.
Good boy.
And down to the yard, the street.
Go, buddy, go!
And flagged down police.
Yes!
He took the police upstairs to Dahmer's apartment, and for whatever reason, Dahmer admitted to handcuffing Edwards, but didn't say why. And then, like, in this lapse of judgment, he's like, yeah, the key's in my bedroom. Where the barrel of torsos
is. Oh.
So he had, like, a lapse of judgment and was like, yeah, just the
probably
key's in my bed.
Probably he was drunk.
Probably, or he... I have this, like, thing where he probably subconsciously was like, I'm real tired of murdering people.
Because
that would be exhausting.
Yeah.
So, when the officers went in, they noticed a bunch of photos in a drawer that was open, and these photos just happened to be of the process of dismembering bodies that, and they were clearly taken in Dahmer's apartment based mm-hmm. on the background of the pictures. The police tried, they arrested him, basically.
Good.
He put up a fight, but the police took him down
Good.
Fairly easily from
yeah.
what I've
gathered. I didn't know he put up a fight.
Yeah, he put up a fight.
Wow.
And then, I'm gonna read what was found in his apartment. This is what the police found. This is from a book where I got most of my notes. It's called The Big Book of Serial Killers. My friend Ashley got it for me for my birthday or for Christmas. I can't remember.
Ashley? I think it was your birthday.
I don't remember. It was for a special occasion.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a bunch of things in here, and it's very interesting. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So they found 4 severed heads, 7 skulls, blood drippings on a tray in the refrigerator, 2 human hearts, part of an arm muscle, a torso.
I'm keeping a finger up.
A bag of organs and flesh,
mm-hmm.
2 whole skeletons,
mm-hmm.
2 hands,
mm-hmm.
2 penises that have been preserved,
mm-hmm.
a scalp.
Oh no.
3 torsos in the drum, which is 4 torsos, and 74 photos of dismembered bodies.
Hot damn.
Yeah. They found a lot.
How big was this apartment?
It was, like, a standard, like, I mean, my apartment's huge. I don't know why it's so big for one person, but it is. I think it was, like, a one bedroom.
Okay.
But it was very, a man apartment, if you know what I mean. The pictures of it are just, like, he had, like, 1 couch, a lamp.
A single chair.
Basically.
There was no tire he brought in.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have more, or where are you at?
I am now
I have a conviction.
I have imprisonment and
okay,
aftermath.
I'll talk about.
Okay.
Okay. So he was charged with 16 counts of first-degree murder, and although he did plead not guilty for reason of insanity, he was found sane and able to stand trial.
Mm-hmm.
The trial lasted for 2 weeks.
Mm.
On February 15th, 1992, he was convicted of 15 life terms and eventually was charged with the 16th later on and had another life sentence added.
Okay.
And your turn.
Okay. So Dahmer served his time at the Columbia Correctional Institute in Portage, Wisconsin. Where he was declared, where he declared himself a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
Roy Ratcliffe, a local preacher from the Churches of Christ, met with Dahmer and agreed to baptize him. And he actually wrote a book about him.
Great.
Dahmer was attacked twice in prison. The first time in July 1994. An inmate attempted to slash Dahmer's throat with a razor blade while Dahmer was returning to his cell from a church service in the prison chapel. Dahmer escaped the incident with superficial wounds. Dahmer also, apparently while in prison, liked to brag to everyone about his crimes and say, yeah, I killed them. He'd also make, like, his food into the shapes of bodies and cut them up because he's an asshole.
That just kind of goes along with he loved being the class clown and center of attention.
He wanted attention, and he... And then you watch these interviews and you're just like, I didn't want to kill them. Like, I don't know why I am this way. You're a little rat piece of shit. You're a little rat shit.
Yeah.
Let's see here. While doing janitorial work in the prison gym, Dahmer and another inmate, Jesse Anderson, were severely beaten by a fellow inmate, Christopher Scarver, with a broomstick handle on November 28th, 1994. So apparently Christopher asked him, did you really do all these things? And Dahmer was like, yep. And he beat the shit out of him. Because he was done with his shit.
Yeah.
Also, he was not on their normal rotation. So, I don't know if you know this because your parents were in the prison system. But, like if you have, like, a job, like, you're with those people for your job.
I think it depends on the prison.
Okay.
Because, like, you get, like, work detail.
Yeah.
And that also depends on behavior. Yeah. So.
And, like, if something, like, bad happens, they'll switch out the people. Yeah. But, like, it's normally, like, it's you guys.
Well, you guys are normally on the same, like, work detail together. Yeah. I think is how it works.
And this was, like, very random that Jesse was with them. Like, just out of the blue. Like, here, you do this. Dahmer died of severe head trauma while on his way to the hospital in an ambulance. Anderson died 2 days later from his wounds.
I do want to say something real quick about Scarver.
Mm-hmm.
So he told the authorities immediately after returning to his cell that he did it because God told him to.
Oh.
He was already on a life sentence for a previous murder, and he received 2 more for the murders of Dahmer and Anderson.
Really?
He then, in 2015, Scarver changed his story, though, to claim that both men had poked him in the back and laughed at him. Which, to be fair, if you're going to change your story, make it better, not worse. Because if you murdered 2 people for poking you in the back and laughing at you, then you're a little piece of shit, too.
Yeah.
And a little baby.
You're a little whiny bitch baby. No.
Good.
Okay. Upon learning of his death, Dahmer's mother responded angrily to the media. Now is everybody happy? Now that he's bludgeoned to death, is that good enough for everyone? Which, like, I know he's your son, and I'm sure you have very conflicting feelings, but you left him.
I also find it weird that they were at his trial. I would not be able to stand. No. I would not be able to see my kid go through that. Or, like,
unless I was in severe denial that they actually did it, but...
Dad knew what he did. Yeah. No. And they still sat there through trial. Well, the stepmom.
Yeah. Apparently, also, his stepmom hated both of those kids. And David didn't do anything.
We don't know much about David.
David, I don't know where he lives. I don't know what he's doing, but hopefully he's living his life, and he's a quiet man.
Hopefully he changed his last name.
Hopefully. The response of the families of Dahmer's victims was mixed, although it appeared most were pleased with his death. The district attorney who prosecuted Dahmer cautioned against turning Scarver into a folk hero, noting that Dahmer's death was still a murder. The Oxford apartments that he was living in were demolished in 1992. The site is now a vacant lot. Plans to convert the site into a memorial garden failed to materialize. In 1994, Lionel, Dahmer's dad, published a book, A Father's Story, and donated a portion of the proceeds from his book to the victims' families.
Wow.
Most of the families showed support for Lionel Dahmer and his wife, Sherry. He has retired from his career as an analytical chemist and resides with his wife in Medina County, Ohio. Lionel Dahmer is an advocate for creationism, and his wife was a member of the board of the Medina, Ohio Horsemen's Council. Both continue to carry the name Dahmer, and they say they love Jeffrey despite his crimes. Jeffrey's mother and Lionel Dahmer's first wife, Joyce, died of cancer in 2000. Jeffrey's brother David changed his last name, and no one knows where he is.
Good.
Good.
Good,
David, I hope you're living your best life. Dahmer's estate was awarded to the families of the 11 victims who had sued for damages. Yeah, no shit. In 1996, Thomas Jacobson, a lawyer representing the eight families, announced a plan to auction off Dahmer's estate to raise up to $1 million, sparking controversy. A civic group in Milwaukee was quickly established in an effort to raise the funds to purchase and destroy Dahmer's possessions. The group pledged $407,225, including a $100,000 gift by Milwaukee real estate developer Joseph Zilber for purchase of Dahmer's estate. Five of the eight families represented by Jacobson agreed to the terms, and Dahmer's possessions were destroyed and buried in an undisclosed Illinois landfill. Okay. In January 2007, evidence surfaced potentially linking Dahmer to Adam Walsh's 1981 abduction and murder in Florida. However, Adam's father, John Walsh, believed another serial killer, Otis Toole, committed the crime.
We'll eventually cover him.
Yeah. There was something else I was thinking of. Oh, there's one presidential election where Dahmer's house, I think the first one where he killed his first victim, was up for, like, rent Airbnb or up for sale or something. You could stay in it.
That's gross.
That is gross.
All right.
And that is the story of Jeff.
Jeff.
His name's Jeff. I just want to make fun of him just to make him... because he deserves it.
He liked to be made fun of, though.
But
he
like
loved, he loved the attention
in so. A way that he doesn't consent to. Consent and is important in every other aspect except for Jeffrey Dahmer.
Fuck those you. People didn't consent to being murdered.
Exactly. You don't get to consent to me calling you Jeff. All fuck right. you.
Relax, my he dude.
Makes me angry.
All right. So that's it.
That's it. That's our 10th episode.
I'm cutting Shelby off because she's gonna go on a rant. Thanks for listening. Are you going to do the thing or no?
Yeah. All right. Be safe. Have fun. Make some new friends. Do not go with anyone who asks you to pose for nudes. Have some fun. And I hope you come back here.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, where's the off button?